Want some, get some. Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first go.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Well, you don't coach at East Carolina. You don't come to East Carolina. You don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever from Omaha, I can promise you that.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for pirates.
Welcome in to TSO Wednesday nights, as we normally have a preview, but tonight, obviously, is another bye week, and we've got a lot of great things happening. We've got a great guest coming up. We'll do a Temple preview, a little mini preview, getting you started for that. Basketball media days for men and women this week, and we'll have a roundtable as well. But first, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from LaGrange, it's Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How is everyone on this Wednesday evening? I'm exhausted. Hope you are.
Stevie Fly, what's up, brother?
Right there with you, Kyle. Right there with you. I know exactly how you feel. I can't stand this. Well, I mean, that time change hasn't happened yet, but this getting dark early, yeah.
That doesn't bother me.
The old folks.
Johnny Robertson, how are you? And you're not old, by the way, Johnny. You're young.
Hey, I'm tired as well, though, fellas.
Johnny late night.
Yeah.
Johnny Stats, Johnny late
night. I was down in Greenville. I spent like 3 days raking pine straw. Now I'm up in Virginia and I'm blowing leaves nonstop. So
I didn't know leaves was back in town.
So I'm a little tired as well, but I'm ready to go.
All right, we've got a great show for you, as always. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the man, former tight end in the Skip Holtz era, and he does, like, I think, putt-putt golf and a whole bunch of sports. He announces Jay Sunhalter. How are you, man?
What's up, buddy? Yeah, I haven't done putt-putt, but I have done kickball, so
I would love that.
That's the craziest one.
You guys, Johnny, I don't know if you or Stevie remember, Kyle maybe. A little too young on this, but Billy Packer that did basketball, he used to do color commentary for putt-putt when it was huge.
Remember that. They used to have it on Saturday nights.
Yeah. So you do remember. Thank God I'm not the only one. All right. So you thought he sold out for Mr. Cash, but
on Dodgeball when they have, what, ESPN Ocho? When they had Dodgeball.
Yeah, Stevie, that's just called ESPN now.
Yep. So Jay, glad to have you on as always, my friend. And first of all, how are things going? I know you got a regular job, you got ESPN, you got more jobs than anyone. How is it going?
Everything's great. Middle of the season right now. I mean, football's flying by. I can't believe it's almost Halloween and doing high school and college games, so it's been good. I think the Pirates, you know, are set up to have a big second half of the year in football, so it should be exciting.
Jay, who have you called for college this year? Give me a couple games you've called.
So I've been in some different leagues. I've been in the American, actually. So I've done Memphis and Temple earlier on this year. And then I've done CAA and SoCon as well. So Campbell and then different teams around the SoCon as well. So last weekend I was Furman Wofford. First 2 weeks of the season I saw Memphis play Chattanooga and then Temple play Howard. So
just interesting question. When you're doing those ESPN Plus games, if it's the American versus the SoCon, is the pay different or is it the same?
Those were booked through ESPN. So, it's all based off of who it's through.
Okay.
So the conference or the network.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, but Jay, it's the same.
Jay, since you've seen Memphis a couple of times, how do you think their offense is going to function without Brendan Lewis?
Well, that'll be interesting. I think they're supremely talented, but anytime you don't have your quarterback, I mean, he's a difference maker.
Yeah.
But their defense is really good. They've got athletes out wide. When I did them, it was the first game of the year, and they had a lot of transfers in at wide receiver. So that was kind of the question, but they had a deep running back room and their offensive line was really good. So I don't know. I mean, as far as the quarterback, that'll be interesting, but I mean, it's definitely a loss because he was a great player. Brendan Lewis was. It is.
I feel like it's very similar to like if Georgia Tech, who's rolling right now, just like Memphis was, if they were to lose Haynes King, I think it'd be like pretty much the same situation. They'd be in big trouble. And I think Memphis is in big trouble. That's just my opinion. I think Vegas does too, because the line went from Memphis -3.5 to now they're +4.5. So that's an eight-point swing right there.
Well, I think another issue is, you know, they lose their quarterback, they get upset by UAB, and now they got to play South Florida and Tulane, and, you know, you got two tough opponents coming up. Your goal, if you were Memphis with a bunch of transfers, was to make the college football playoff, and you were on path to do that. And now, let's say you go lose three in a row, their season could spiral. Now, if they find a way to win, you know, one of those two, Tulane, South Florida, then I think, you know, that's different. But I think without their quarterback, if they lose these next two after losing UAB, you could really see a lot of I'm just thinking out loud here, but when you got expectations like that and then your season starts to go south, it'd be interesting to see if they can hold it together, you know, finish respectively, or if they let the thing fall apart. I think these next two are going to be key for them.
No doubt about it. I told you guys that I was really – that the Memphis game is what I was really concerned about being home, but now that looks like that's a more competitive game, guys, where we have more of a chance to win than we did until last week with their quarterback.
The Temple game concerns me. Temple's playing really good football. Their quarterback is very accurate, and, you know, that's what's on the docket. And after they play Tulsa this week, they should be 5-3 when we go up there playing for bowl eligibility. So, you know, Memphis is – I thought it was a winnable game with or without their quarterback just because we had them in Greenville, and I liked that we got them after South Florida Tulane and right before Navy. I thought it was a perfect place to play them. But it does make things a little easier maybe without their quarterback for sure, but Temple really concerns me, and we'll talk about that game because it's the next game. We'll talk about that more. We're going to kind of hit a lot of topics tonight, but Temple's a team that – if people haven't been paying attention, the people that watch this show, they've been paying attention. But Temple's a good football team, and they've improved dramatically since early in the season.
Well, you know, we talked about it before, too. Temple kind of has our number, especially when we play there. Johnny, do you have – I don't know if you can check
people,
or if you already
know. People say
know.
That, Stevie, but I believe – I could be wrong on my years here, and, you know, we don't play everybody every year, but I think we've won two in a row there.
Well, I mean, I'm just no – Johnny, do you have our record?
Yeah, but they have – Stevie's right, though. I think you're both right. I think, Kyle, you're correct, and I think Stevie's correct. There was a span there where they had their way with us rather 16, easily.
14 and 16. In a minute. I remember 16 because that's the fifth quarter, Kyle, where you predicted that the very first game of 17 was James Madison with Coach Mike Houston. They were going to come in there and beat us –
yeah,
that time. You remember that?
Yeah,
that
Temple was last game of 16, and I guaranteed the JMU, who was FCS at the time, would come in here and beat us game one. Temple was good in 16 in that time frame.
That was Matt Rule era, right?
Yeah. And they were good, and we were awful. And then, of course, the 14 game, everybody remembers that because we were
fumbles.
Yeah, and then I don't know how we did at Temple in the 80s. In the early 90s when we played them as an independent. I have no idea. I don't remember that. But
One of the first games I went to was 84-85. Temple, Paul Palmer ran all over ECU that day. So, yeah, I know I'm dating myself there. So.
You date yourself on your own time.
I got you.
So our record against Temple overall is 11-9. And our, let's see. So it says Temple's away record is 5-5. Temple's home record is 4-6. Is that right? Yeah.
But Kyle's correct. I think we beat them maybe 3-0.
So wait a minute. So Temple's, wait a minute. Say that again, Dave?
I know. That's what I was looking here. This is not.
That math don't math.
Yeah, I'm math to add up on that.
20.
Okay, Kyle's correct. We've won the last four matchups. You know, obviously, 56-34 last year. Then in 22, it was that crazy 49-46 back and forth duel in Philadelphia. And then before that, we won 45-3 in Greenville, and then beat them 28-3 in Philly the year before in the COVID year. And the last time they beat us was in Greenville. They won 27-17 in 2019. So it's been a while.
Yeah, no doubt it'll be great to – that game is going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think I saw a prediction already, 31-20 Pirates. That's not me. That was what the computer said, AI said. So what do you think the line will be, guys? Like, it'll be like
– I think it's going to depend on what happens at Tulsa this week. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be anywhere from – ECU -3 to Temple -2. I think it'll be somewhere in that range. ChatGTP, when I still had the paid version the other day, I didn't renew this month. They projected with their analytics that we would be a 2.5-point favorite Sunday night. But, you know, who knows? A lot of that will depend on the Tulsa game this weekend. But it's going to be a close spread and a tight game. Jay, what do you think of Temple, man? You called the Temple-Memphis game, you said. I know Temple's improved since then, but I don't know how much you've had a chance to watch them since that game.
So when I saw them, I was really impressed with them. And, I mean, I saw them game two. Was in Vegas, but I was like, oh, they're going to win.
Well,
he's up.
He's back.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I thought they were going to be a bowl team early on. They're disciplined. Their coaches do an awesome job, and that's going to be an extremely challenging game for ECU going on the road. Like, everybody in the past, you know, this is a different team that's been the Temple team in the past. It's a whole new coaching staff. Casey Keeler came in, and he's awesome. It's going to be a big challenge. And I agree with you, Kyle. Like, it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, for me with the game, obviously one of the things that comes to mind is Evan Simon. I mean, he's Jay, very efficient.
You guys there?
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear us?
I don't know if you can't. Jay, if you cannot hear us, then sign out and sign back in. I guess you won't be able to hear. But anyway, Kyle, one of the things...
Somebody messaged Jay, tell him that.
Yeah, Stevie, I don't know if you've seen that, Stevie and Johnny and Kyle, but they, but their quarterback is very efficient.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Are we on still?
Yeah. Yeah, can you hear us? All right.
I might need to text him.
Keep talking. I'll text him, guys. Keep talking.
All right. But, yeah, no, the Temple-East Carolina game obviously coming up in a couple of weeks. And this week Temple plays Tulsa. We played Tulsa last week. So it'll be interesting to see how they play against them. Tulsa has some success against us, particularly through the air, took advantage of our corners. You know, the line is only, I think, 6.5, or that's what it opened as at Tulsa. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, that's one I'll definitely be watching this weekend to kind of scout Temple and see how they did against the common opponent. See how they do against the common opponent.
All right, let me ask you this, guys, on purpose. I'm going to we normally give our predictions for ECU. We have no game. Who do you like this weekend with that game? That's the game that I'm going to Another one I'm going to be watching too, Kyle. Who do you like in that game? You like Tulsa or you
going? No, I don't like Temple. It's at Tulsa. Yeah, I like Temple. As far as the score goes, I have no idea.
Does anybody know the over-under in that one?
No.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
I haven't had one spread, though.
The draft. I'll get ready to say, Johnny.
What is it saying?
No, I was saying it opened up. Temple was a 6.5-point favorite, which I thought was a bit low, but the money's going on Tulsa because it's down to 5.5 now.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know the over-under, though. I don't do totals.
I'm looking.
It should be right there wherever you're looking at the
I'm not looking at anything.
Oh, you just remember it. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to say hello to Brad tonight, Justin. And, guys, Chuck is saying the Temple game will be tough. He thinks we'll win by 3 to 6 points. Chuck Selle.
Over-under is 54.5.
He thinks the Pirates will go 4-1.
I'll be right. I mean, I'd rather go 5-0, but 4-1 would be 8-4. I'll take it any day.
Yeah, I predicted 8-4 overall. So, Jay, what about you? Did you feel bullish on the Pirates this year? How are you feeling? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I like it 8-4. Two conference games, losses, two non-conference is what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I think, guys, the Charlotte game, you know, obviously on paper, we should win that, no doubt. But I think this season, this game against Temple is going to be everything. I think if we can win both of these games, go 2-0, it's going to set us up for a hot finish. You know, but I think this Temple game is huge. And I think all these games we can win. We can win every single one of them. But I mean, it's gonna be determined on, you know, how we improve and how we, you know, kind of, I think, just improve and stay healthy here the last month of the season. I mean, I think we can go 5-0 the rest of these games. I mean, I think we can beat every team on the schedule. It's not going to be easy, but if we keep improving and I think that Temple game is just going to be huge because that is a tough place to play. There's not going to be a lot of people there, and Temple's good.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, Pirate fans, I want to challenge the Pirate fans. Check this out. I bought two tickets for $10. And they're lower in their fifth row end zone seats, $5 a piece. That tells you the inventory. I looked over secondary markets, and they were trying to sell those tickets and couldn't do it. And so that's why the tickets are so cheap, because you get so much. What is it like, Stevie? Isn't that like about 74,000? It's way over 70, I think, at Lincoln Financial. I don't know the number.
Thanks. I think you're right, Dave. I'm not
anyways,
sure.
Yeah, it's But I wanted to say that, if you're Pirate fans and you're looking for a great trip, the ticket prices are very low, and there are also plenty of great seats. I sound like a salesman, but there are plenty of seats available, really good seats. So there you go. Hello to Craig. He says he can't listen tonight, but wants to wish us a great show. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Craig.
Craig sighting there. And Brad says, by the way, Jay, the touchdown catch by Jay in 2006 versus NC State and Raleigh was a nice play design, nice touch pass by James Pinckney. I was there at that game.
That was a great one. That was a huge one. Thanks, Brad. Yeah, that was a big one. We beat NC State. That was over Thanksgiving weekend and celebrated. And that was Chuck Amato's last game at
NC
State.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were yelling. The NC State people were screaming to fire Amato and hire Skip Holtz. I mean, how many times do you, where I was, the section I was in, I had a coach's passes for that game, and I'll never forget that. So, anyway, so Jay, with the American, how do you? I was looking today. By the way, I was telling the guys just. Looking out of curiosity about the Bulls, but how many right now midseason, how many American teams do you think will make a bowl game? Do you have an idea?
I mean, I think there's so many bowl games. Damn, everybody's going to about make it, aren't they?
Yeah.
They need to come down some of these bowls.
you got Memphis, Tulane, Tulsa. Yeah.
Seven, maybe, is what I was thinking.
No, Memphis, Tulane, Tulsa, Navy. Hopefully East Carolina. North Texas. You know, you got UTSA potentially. I think Florida Atlantic, probably not, but it's going to be close. Army also is going to be close.
4 or 5 wins for them.
So, 7, I would say, for sure, potentially 9.
Okay. I'm going, I was thinking 7. Stevie, over under 7 for American teams making bowls out of the curiosity, just what you know now in the midseason. I know
over under with 7?
Yeah.
Or you can just do the push.
Yeah, you could say 7 is a push.
Yeah, I'm say push. I mean, yeah. By the way, 65,000 is capacity for football.
All right, I was off there, but I knew that it's a lot of seats because, man, those tickets are so cheap.
Yeah.
And you can get a good one. By the way, Semenza, what's up, Semenza? He says, what's up, Sonny? Hope all is well.
Hope he is doing well, Matt. Miss you, brother.
No doubt. And let's see. Uh-oh. Justin Butt says, get Jay's thoughts on the new North Carolina High School Athletic Association playoff picture and moving to 8 classes. I can talk a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting here because the playoffs are starting. I mean, high school playoffs start in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's Halloween's the last regular season game of the year. So, I mean, I think there's obviously going to be, you know, with more state champions, more teams in the playoffs and the 8A, there's actually going to be, you know, there's not as many teams in there. So there's going to be a lot more teams make the playoffs that have a chance. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it all works and how it all shakes out. And, you know, it's going to be, you know, 5 rounds of playoffs and the state championship. So it's still a long way to go once you get in. But the sites are going to be at UNC, at Durham and Lenoir Rhine. So that'll be interesting to see, too. But it's a lot different than the past.
Yeah. Yeah. We, so in 3A, and Stevie helped me that, but the 3A is, there's 57 teams. I was talking to the Martin County Athletic Director tonight, for the whole county, the district athletic director, and he told me there's 57 teams. So there's going to be 48 teams that make the playoffs in high school football for 3A, 24 in the East, 24 in the West, and it looks like, the first 10, we're going to be most likely right now a 6th seed. And so we're going to make the playoffs with the first round bye, the November 7th game, it looks like it. So we won't play the 14th, it looks like. But we'll see how many. What do you think, Stevie? How do you like the format? I know that you're independent, but.
That's crazy. It's crazy to have that many. I mean, I don't know. I don't like it, but whatever. It doesn't matter what I think. I just don't like that many. It's kind of dilutes the aura of making the playoffs.
Well, yeah, they had, you know, before they had it where teams that were like 2 and 8.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still – look, I mean,
make the playoffs.
Our basketball teams play I think with the state, and granted, we are independents, we're a private school, but they were asking anybody to play in the state playoffs. I mean, that's how bad it's got. So it just defeats. Because I remember when I was in school, when you made the state playoffs, that was a big deal.
That's correct. And now, well, you know, it all comes down to money, guys. And I think that we'll get back to East Carolina, I promise. But, I feel like that. Don't you think, Stevie, they're doing it because they know that it helps the local schools?
Yeah, of course. But the thing is, and I'm not sure how it goes on the public school front, but I know in private school, when you host a state playoff game, you don't get anything.
No, that's correct.
You pay for where you used to get the gate. The gate goes to the association, and so it's kind of like you're being punished for making the playoffs.
Yeah, it's not like the North Carolina High School Athletic Association doesn't have money.
Oh yeah, like they're hurting for money.
they got more money than they know what to do with. But yeah, what do you guys? Let's get back to East Carolina. So Who's your I got one question for you. Who's your MVP for the first half of the season? Who is a player that you say, man, we cannot live? Would you go with straight up Hauser, or is there other guys that you would like that you would like to vote for?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with oh Jesus Christ, I just had a brain fart. Oh, what is wrong with me? My greatest weakness is people's names, but I know this guy's name is well so know my own. I'm gonna go with the leader on defense. Our safety, not Riddle. Our safety, the transfer from
Houston. Deegan Wilkes.
Thank you. I'm gonna go with Deegan Wilkes just because I think he keeps everything organized in that defense. Even though, you know, the secondary might not be the strength of the defense, he kind of is the field general at safety, and that defense, you know, maybe didn't perform as well last week. And he showed some signs of being human against Tulane, but I think Wilkes, you know, because of his importance on the field, of keeping things, you know, kind of under control. The defense as a whole has been the MVP this year so far. So I'll say Tegan.
I agree. I'm going to go with the other safety. I'm going to go with Jamari Riddle. I mean, he's played 430 out of 496 snaps. He's never off the field. I mean, Campbell and Coastal, he took time off because, you know, we were up big. So, I mean, if it wasn't for that, I mean, he'd probably play 95% of the snaps. And he's always around the ball. And I'm going to give honorable mention to Josiah Robinson and Preston Carr because when they, you know, they have, I think, surpassed expectations. And
yeah, they have.
Yeah. I think that defense, like you said, Kyle, and the whole, we should just give it to the whole defense. I mean,
I was going to say the same thing, John.
Yeah, they're a collective thing. They're not individuals. So, yeah. Good call, Stevie.
I mean, as much as we discussed in the offseason about the defense being the big worry, I think they have really made us forget about that. So I would give it to the defense right now. And I'll tell you this, if I'm going to give, and people might think I'm crazy, like a MVP for the offense, Spalding, I would give it to him right now. Because in times when we needed a spark, he made the big catch that got us going in a few games. So and then you got Smith, Anthony Smith, too. I would be between those two.
And I'm going to throw a bone to Emmanuel Poku, the guard on the offense. He's never missing any time, and he's really the leader in the pass blocking, and he's getting better at run blocking. So, I mean, we've had a lot of issues on the offensive line with injuries and such, and, I mean, he's been really steady. I'm going to give him some love.
Jay?
Yeah, sounds good. Jay, what do you think, man? If you had to give an early season MVP, would you choose an individual player or just give it to the whole defense?
Well, you know what? I mean, the defense overall, it's hard for me to say who's really stood out as much, but I'll go kind of a different direction. This is from last year to this year. I think Blake Harrell should get a game ball for what he's done. I mean, the difference between him and Mike Houston – is night and day difference. Just the respect, the way the kids play, and the way everything is handled up there. I think him being the head coach, and you know, I know he was the interim at the end of last year, but I mean, him and his presence is huge up there, and he's been the biggest difference of this team from, you know, this point last year early on to this point. So, but I think he's deserving of a lot of praise, and then I think the defense are overall, you know, so I agree on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, we talked about that on Sunday, Jay. The guy is 9-4. So out of the last 13 games, he's only second on the all-time list behind John Christenberry. He was the coach right before World War II. Different era for sure, but a great start. Mike Houston could not say that he was 9-4, guys. And I know he took over a program that was dreadful, and so maybe people would say that to me to be fair to Houston, but still – I thought he's got a way about him, as we've talked a lot about him, that he's just, he's very down to earth, and he knows like how to relate to people. And I feel like with Houston, Houston was like a coach from the 80s or 90s, meaning that the way he relates to his players, he was just not the same, not the coach for the right now.
Yeah, Blake's a very likable guy, very down to earth, relatable, as you said. So, you know, it's like Jay mentioned, it's Blake Harrell's done one hell of a job so far. It hasn't been perfect, but last year, you know, going 4-1, 5-1, whatever it was, counting the bowl game and beating NC State in the bowl.
5-1.
Yeah, beating NC State in the bowl, and so far 4-3 this year. And the second half of the season is really going to kind of tell the tale, I think, on how good Blake is. We got a lot of 50-50 type ball games coming up the rest of the way, with the exception of Charlotte on paper. I think the rest of these games are 50-50, 60-40 type games, particularly with Florida Atlantic and UTSA being on the road, Temple being on the road. Only two home games left, guys. So, you know, this schedule's been wonky. Three Thursday night games, five games in November, only two games in October. It's been wonky as hell, but kind of is what it is. Jay, from a national perspective, you know, I'm not a big playoff guy, and it pisses me off that ESPN, that's all they talk about from friggin' August. You know, every damn game, you can be watching – you can be watching Akron taking on Eastern Michigan on ESPN Plus, and they'll sit there and some idiot will have to start talking about the playoffs. But who do you think right now? Give me, you know, it's a 12-team playoff. We won't go that deep, but give me your four. Give me your final four as a basketball term. Give me your final four for college football come playoff season. I'll be one of those playoff talking assholes in October.
I think some of these are going to be obvious, but I mean, Ohio State, I think, is probably a definite to be there at the end. But I'll give you one shock. I think Notre Dame is going to make the playoff, and I think they're going to go pretty far. So I'll say Notre Dame in there. I'll say Oregon, Ohio State, Notre Dame. And then I do think Indiana is real. So I think they're going to make it in there too.
Yeah, they're definitely real.
Hey guys, what did you guys think about that payday for Cignetti, man? What is that, like $99 million? It's something ridiculous, man. That, good gracious. But I mean, I understand why they.
$99 million.
It's something ridiculous for his. Did you see that?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
He got an extension. I'm he looking up.
It is, was it 90? How much was that? But it was way up there. It's way up there. It made me not exactly 99. But it's something absurd. Like, I'm happy for him. I'm not jealous. But, and Jay, I asked them, ask us.
93.3 million over 8 years.
Lord.
That,
over 8 years. Kirk is older than people realize he is.
63?
Yeah.
He's not that old, I don't think. Is he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. He's in his 60s. And so that's what I'm saying. 11.5 million
for 8 years, Robert Dedrick. Thank you. I just thought that was. I mean,
he doesn't look 63, but I'm pretty sure that's pretty close to being right.
Yeah, let me see. I'll look it up here. Well,
he was born in 61. So,
oh my goodness,
64.
Yeah. So,
all right,
at an 8 year deal, he'll be. 72, yeah.
And, yeah, he didn't start coach. He didn't get his first head coaching gig till he must have been in his late 40s.
Yeah, I just remember it at Elon. Just think about that, guys. He was sitting at Elon when we hired Mike Houston, and James Madison replaced him with Cignetti. We could have hired Cignetti.
Yeah, he was in my top five. If obviously Houston at the time was our number one, but Cignetti, Kyle and I talked to each other that Tuesday night. I'll never forget as long as I live when Houston supposedly took the Charlotte job. And we're like, oh, my gosh. And then I called Kyle a couple days later when Scotty Moe was fired. And he's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, I'm not joking, man. He got fired. And so Anyway, Cignetti, good for him, for Indiana. But I was saying, Jay, is Indiana a football school or a basketball school? Still, that kind of money, they've done well with. They've made a great hire. And see what happens when you make a great hire. And he's got them now competing for a national championship.
I think they're a football school now. I mean, their basketball team. I mean, who knows on them, but they're football school.
Hey, Stevie.
They haven't been near the top for a while.
The last time that I remember as far as Bobby Knight, his last Final Four appearance was 92 and lost to Duke. I can't remember. When's the last time Indiana has made it to the Final Four?
I mean, they've had some between now and then, but here not lately, a lot. It's been few and far between.
Yeah, not like when we grew up, right? It's not the Indiana of your daddy.
Oh, no.
Or that, and I was talking to Willie. We got started about talking about that is when Bobby Knight threw that chair across. You remember that, Stevie, across the
court? Oh, definitely, yeah.
Johnny, I know, remember it. And back the guys that were in the press box, the young guys didn't know there used to be three technicals, Stevie.
Oh yeah, I had a
reason why they went down to two because Bobby had got his second technical. He throws that chair across the floor, and you're out of there. And then they knocked it down to shortly after that in the late 80s, they knocked it down to two technicals. But anyway, let's get back to talking. What are some – I was going to go over the American games with you guys and this week to get your thoughts. North Texas is at Charlotte. I take it you're going to take North Texas, obviously.
Yeah.
Let's see. UConn is at Rice.
Rice seems to be trending down. UConn seems to be trending up.
Yeah.
So I'll take UConn.
And we talked about Temple, Tulsa. Obviously, I'm taking obviously Temple, but we'll see how that goes. And the South Florida Memphis game, I take it you're going to take South Florida.
Absolutely.
I mean, with that, the Memphis quarterback, I can't see that being. And
Well, Memphis without their quarterback. John, do you have any thoughts on any of these games?
No, I mean, I think that Charlotte, you know, the first one we talked about, Charlotte, they're not going to win another game the rest of the year. All these other games, I think this league, other than Charlotte's, so balanced. I think all these games are toss ups.
I read an article about that a week or so ago about that very thing about how much better the American Conference is from top to bottom, which is true. And it's hard to believe, guys, when we were talking about the you guys remember that? We were talking about how the American with the new teams and, oh, my goodness. But now they actually have improved a lot more than what we expected. So let's see. One more.
Donnie, were you about to make a comment a minute ago?
Yeah, I was. I was just going to mention – thank you, Kyle. I was just going to mention that I agree top to bottom. It's definitely less separation. But the weird thing is the average margin of victory is 19.1 points per game this season, same as it was last season, strangely enough. But we have 10 different teams out of the 14 that have won a conference game by 18 points or more. I mean, wow. It's crazy. Even the lower level teams are winning big. Now, those are against other lower-level teams, but still, I mean, the conference is exciting. I love to watch all the games, but sometimes they're just not, you know, they're not real competitive.
Hey, Johnny, here's a stat for you. I'm doing the research earlier today, getting ready for the show. How about Temple's red zone efficiency? Do you know that stat, Johnny?
It's up there, and our defensive red zone efficiency is outstanding as well, so that should be –
Yeah, Temple's red zone efficiency, Kyle, 91%.
It's good. That's really good. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a challenge. I've watched them play. They had Navy beat, and I'm still not sure what the hell they did on fourth and one there. But that's going to be a heck of a challenge. Temple's offense against our defense in the red zone might be the story of the game. Hopefully it'll be similar to the Tulane game in terms of how we perform in the red zone defense, but with a different result. I'll tell you, Jay, let me ask you as a former player, and I asked Semenza about this and Bubba, who both, you know, played college football. and they think it could be an issue. We have not played a day game. Every game we've played has been at night, as insane as that sounds here. Our first day game is going to be at Temple, November 1st, 2 p.m. kickoff.
And I'm glad it is the daytime.
And Temple's played a lot of day games. how much do you make of that from two standpoints? One, being ready earlier in the day, particularly on the road, and you haven't done it all year. And two, just playing in the sun. You know, I know they practice in the sun, so maybe that won't make much of a difference. Is it going to be more just being ready to go earlier in the day? Or, I mean, because like I say, we practice in the sun, so I really don't think that makes much difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that we haven't, you know, really had the day game opportunity, it's the cycle of you're used to playing at night, so you're used to sitting in the hotel all day. And when you're playing, if the game's at 2 o'clock, you're getting to the stadium 2 hours early, your whole schedule is different. So it's hard to get ready when you're not used to that. And then, I mean, I think the other factor is going to be you're getting up earlier, even though it's at 2 o'clock. So you're getting up earlier, but also there's not going to be anybody in the stands, and you're going to be in a NFL stadium, and it's not going to be crowded. So you're going to have to bring energy where Temple's used to playing in front of nobody. We maybe necessarily aren't. And that's going to be the challenge.
I don't know. Have you seen our Thursday night second half crowds this year?
I have, but they're going to be more than that. What's up there?
You know, I don't know, man. People say that the crowd was good for Navy. When Temple starts winning, they have more fans show up. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if there's around 30,000 people there for that game. It would not surprise me at all. We'll probably take 2,000 or 3,000. You know, I don't know. You know, is that homecoming for Temple? I mean, this is around homecoming time. Does anybody know?
I can find out. I'm not sure.
But, you know, if there's 25,000-30,000 people in there, that's enough to make some noise and won't be so dead. But it is concerning to me. You know, some Matt, you know, suggested, and I tweeted Blake this, that maybe we should go a day early and do that same, you know, arrive on Thursday like BYU did here, and do that Saturday routine on Friday. Get up early, do a walkthrough around the time we'd be getting to the stadium, et cetera, so we were ready on Saturday. I doubt we'll do that, but it's a good idea.
Our research team, crack research team, found out that was back on October the 11th. The Navy game was their homecoming.
Okay. All right. Well, that maybe explains some of that crowd. But, yeah, I did like Matt's idea of arriving on Thursday evening and doing the Saturday routine on Friday, the day before. So you're just repeating what you did the day before, rinse and repeat.
Yeah, Robert says, we already did this, Robert, I believe, but move the practice to the morning. We do practice.
Yeah. It's more the game day routine.
Yeah. Jay, I was going to ask one thing that comes to mind. I do agree with Kyle, but I was going to ask, I know there's going to be adjustments, so I do agree with Kyle on that. But once you start playing the game, does that finally just like kind of fade away where it doesn't bother you anymore? Like being a day game versus night?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like you have to be ready to go from the beginning. And sometimes, like, let's just say you're not ready to go. I mean, I've been in games where you kind of get punched in the mouth.
Right.
And you're not ready, or you think you're going to coast. And it's just natural. I mean, you can't be perfect every single Saturday. Sometimes you are coasting or whatever, and then you get punched in the mouth. I mean, sometimes you can readjust and sometimes you can't. And that's the challenge with it. And there's no way to truly control it. But, I mean, so I don't think you can control it necessarily. If you don't come out ready to play, it's not like you can lock back in. Sometimes it's just, you know, if you don't have it, you can't regain it that quick. And, I mean, that's why sometimes at halftime, you know, you go into halftime and you get reamed out to try to wake you up. But that it's a challenge.
You know, we had an off week before Tulane, and we came out flat on offense. So I'm sure that'll be a point of emphasis this week, this coming week, to not come out flat on offense like we did in the at Tulane in the first half. Yeah. Something that, you know, I have thought about and I think could play into our advantage is this will be Temple's fifth game in a row without an off week. We're going to have a 16-day break. They're going to be coming back from Tulsa. So they could be a tired football team, and we should be a pretty fresh football team. We got a lot of injuries we needed to rehab. It was a good time for an off week. We won't get Reason back, and unfortunately, for that Temple game. But it's a lot of other guys that we may get healthy. But, Jay, do you you think that could be a good thing, having this 16-day break while Temple's going to be playing their fifth game in a row?
I do. I mean, I think if we use it the right way, meaning like you said, getting guys healthy and staying fresh mentally, then it can be a huge advantage. Because for them, you know, for Temple playing that many games in a row, you know, they should have momentum and they should kind of be in a groove. But again, five Saturdays in a row and you're in the middle of the season, you've got guys beat up and banged up most likely, but it's just hard to maintain that focus every single week when you don't have a break. So I would say we have an advantage for sure on that. And then also too, I mean, you know, our coaches and our staff know that's a tough place to play and know that this Temple team is a lot better than they've been in the past. So I'm sure the message is being very clearly known that, like, hey, we have to be ready to go. And this is a real Temple team that is talented and, you know, good enough to beat us.
Yeah, I think just looking at their record, they'll be 5-3, you know, unless they get upset by Tulsa by the time we go there. And, just everybody knows how good Navy is. Just put on that Navy film. That'll get anybody's attention.
And they lost to Georgia Tech and Oklahoma, who are both.
Exactly. Yep, similar to us. They've beaten bad teams, or, well, I shouldn't say we've just beaten. And neither should I for them, because that UTSA win was good. You know, they've beaten bad teams or middle-of-the-road teams and lost to good teams, just like us. We've beaten bad teams. We beat a middle-of-the-road team with Army, and then we've lost to good teams. Our worst loss of the year is NC State. You know, BYU and Tulane are both better than NC State. So, and they're worse. You know, they've only lost, like you said, to Oklahoma.
Georgia Tech
and Navy. So, something's got to give. I think that's going to be a very even game. Stevie, Stevie, what was it? The Gorilla Monsoon? You say, I can't think of the same in my head when a matchup was even. Stevie,
you got me on that one.
Well, screw you, Stevie. You're supposed to have the wrestling facts. So.
Immovable force against the immovable, something like that.
Exactly. You remember it about as well as I do. The invisible force against the immovable object, maybe
something like that. Yeah,
So that's what kind of East Carolina Tulane is. It's gonna be a very even matchup, East Carolina Temple, very even matchup. I wish it was in Greenville. Really do.
Oh, yeah. Justin Butts talks about when you're talking about traveling on Thursday. The problem is the cost. I'll say this. Every road trip, we have to book the rooms for two nights, Friday and Saturday. So basically, we're paying for rooms that we are not using. You add Thursday, that's three nights at $200 plus a room.
Who cares?
50 rooms.
Who cares?
Irresistible force meets the immovable object.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, Justin, I hear what you're saying, but my answer to that would be, who cares? I mean, we make $7 million a year from the television contract alone. Doing that for one game isn't going to make or break our financial budget.
Especially, the reason I like it is you're already up there and you have the traveling down. You can, like you were talking about, getting the routine. And let's face it, the kids are doing a lot of classes online, even if you're not a player. So you can do all your classes online, do your work, do the walkthrough, right? I mean, Stevie, as a coach, that day, you know, Friday, the day before a game, you're not going to be doing any crazy hitting or anything anyway.
Plays. You do basically a walkthrough.
Yeah. You don't anybody hurt.
Day before a game. Yeah, because with my luck, you get somebody hurt the night before a game if you did like that. And with nine players, that wouldn't be good.
So are you okay? Are you back to full strength or not?
No, our season's over.
Oh, man. Okay, I didn't know that. All right. Let's see. Brad has a question for you guys. Get that up there. What is the deal with our offensive line? Started the year not so good. Now they've improved. What gives? They just need to be healthy, right, guys? We've had a couple guys to go.
Wait, wait a minute. Repeat. Show what he just said.
What gives? That's like a.
What is the deal with our offensive line? Started the year not so good. Now they've improved. What gives? Well, Brad, they've gotten better as the year's gone.
It's Panda power.
It's Panda. Panda asked you with the running game. But Matt, seriously, to answer his question, they've just improved as the year goes. That's what you want. You know, you don't want it to go the opposite way. So hopefully that continues.
Matt says, well, look for some creativity early in this game out of JDB. I agree, Matt. 16 days to prepare. He should have a very strong game plan. Semenza, let's hope so. That's exactly what I'm hoping for. Plus, guys, we talk about all the time with football being a tough sport as far as injuries are concerned. A lot of the guys have got bumps and bruises. Guys are got banged up. We'll hopefully get them back by the time of the Temple game.
I'll tell you what's interesting. If we lose the Temple game, we're going to be 4-4. You figure you better beat Charlotte. You know, I don't want to say nothing for sure, but we owe them and they're bad. But you lose the Temple, you're 4-4. Let's assume you beat Charlotte. You got three tough games after that then to get bowl eligible. You got Memphis, then you got at Florida Atlantic, or excuse me, at UTSA and at Florida Atlantic. It gets dicey. You know, I think we'd still do it. I think we found a way to win two out of the last four at least. But it gets dicey if you lose to Temple. If you beat Temple, you can get bowl eligible against Charlotte. But I tell you what, if we lose to Temple, we better handle Charlotte, and I sure do hope we get bowl eligible against Memphis. I don't want to be going on the road looking for our bowl eligibility. This Temple game will make the second half of the season a lot less stressful if we get it. If we lose it, we're 4-4, and, you know, it gets dicey.
Hey, Jay, you were like me, and I think Johnny is too. You like us winning all five games, right?
I do.
I there's something about that for me. I just feel strongly about this team, and I think the scheduling gods have been good to us because getting Temple and having a lot of time to prepare, I just feel, and getting the healthy guys back, I think the team is improving as we're going on. The only concern I'll have is
I hate the schedule of our last three games. I hate that our last home game's against Memphis and it's on around friggin' Veterans Day, and then you play back to back road games at UTSA and at Florida Atlantic to close the year. I hate that. I hope y'all are right that we win our last five, or even four out of our last five. Get back to me after the Temple game. I don't know. I don't know what I'm calling here for these last five. I could see us go 8-4. I could see us go 6-6. So we'll see what happens.
Yep. And Robert's saying, how is Temple special teams could be the difference? I'll look and see if I've got. Do you have anything, Johnny, on that? I can't remember.
Or Matt, shit. Jay, Steve, Johnny, either one of you got anything on that?
No, I mean, I could give you what Pro Football Focus says, but that would take me a couple minutes.
Yeah, they're not very reliable. Jay, what did you think of their special teams?
Sorry, which team? Sorry.
Temple.
No, they're good.
They're good.
Okay. I mean, again, I saw them after one game film. We just met with the coaches. I was very impressed by Temple.
Dave, I think you're on twice, Dave.
Yeah,
it's because of feedback. There you go.
All right. Do I need to log out and come back in?
No, Dave, not Jay. Dave.
Oh, okay.
No, me. Yeah.
But Temple, I mean, regardless of all these, you know, I know they're 5-3 right now, but when I saw them and met with them, they're going to be a real challenge. They're not going to beat themselves. They're going to be disciplined. They'll run trick plays. They're going to be solid. East Carolina has more talent than Temple, but they are a team that I think can win I mean, I thought at that point, you know, they're coming off a bad season, a new coach, and I thought they were going to be a bowl team. So I think they're one of those teams that's going to be dangerous because of just how solid they play. They don't beat themselves.
Yeah.
That includes special teams.
All right. Very good head coach. I think he's done a great job. Did a good job at Delaware. Did a good job at Sam Houston. And now he's doing a good job at Temple.
No question about it. And so you guys, I think we obviously we're going to have our, as far as football is concerned, we'll be back on. I want to remind everybody to, we're not leaving just yet, but I want to remind everybody Sunday night, we'll, it's not a playback. But we'll have our Sunday night show as we get Sunday. And then next Wednesday night, by the way, guys, we have Brian Bailey is going to be with us from WNCT Channel 9. He's coming with us to preview Temple. So I talked to him yesterday, and he's looking forward to it. He actually, I was surprised, he actually watches our show. So so anyway, I wanted to mention that. And also, guys, talking about the Pirates, we had Johnny, we had the men's basketball media day yesterday, the women's basketball media day is tomorrow. Guys, do you have any comments on basketball? We wanted to touch on that briefly.
Well, we're going to be big. I mean, we got some big guys. We got, I think, 4 6'10" players. And Luke Davis, who actually played at South Central.
Yep.
And then he went to some, he went to an academy, or not an academy, yeah, I guess, you know, a private school. And then, you know, he really didn't do anything in college at all. And he went to University of New Orleans last year and right. literally barely played. But in the last three games, he had like 17 points, 18 points, and 7 points. So maybe he's found something, and maybe the Pirates saw that and they liked the potential. But, you know, he's 6'9", so you can throw him in that mix too with the tall guys. And so, you know, we haven't had that luxury before, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Coach talked about that, about that our they definitely strategically went for the height. And here's something else that's interesting, guys, I want to mention. Kyle, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, we talked about in the past about football having – how cool it would be to have preseason football games. Well, they're starting this year for college basketball to have preseason games. I just want to get y'all's thoughts on that. And would you like to, we talked about it before. I would like to see that for football, but.
I don't know. They've done that in the exhibition games. Isn't new. That's something that's been done in the past for college basketball. And they'll do scrimmages also that you can't yes. find the results out to. But
right,
no,
that's not even. But this is actually going to be where you can watch the games and everything.
Yeah, they've done exhibition games before. It's not new. It's not been done all across college basketball. That's been done in the past. So that's not a brand new thing.
Don't they when they do exhibition games sometimes it might be an international team or something, Kyle?
Yeah. So it's not nothing new. Are we doing one?
No.
No, Coach is talking about doing that next year, but they're starting – more schools are doing that this year, and they're going to have – we're definitely going to be doing it next year. So that was one of the highlights from the media day for you guys I want to mention. And also, the schedule is a lot – I tell you what, I'm going to be like Kyle on this for basketball. Don't be surprised. You know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you play the easy non-conference – then you have cupcakes and you have the wins, but at the same time, we've got a lot of tough games on our schedule, especially
on the road.
Yep.
Yeah, on the road, non-conference is tough. At home, it's like two different worlds versus for our non-conference schedule. But no, it'll be interesting as East Carolina basketball always is. But guys, I am exhausted. I don't know how much longer you guys are planning on going.
You
can go all night if you want to. But Kyle from LaGrange is signing out. And you guys be good. Jay, it was good to talk to you again, brother. Don't be a stranger.
Yes, and, sir. Great seeing you, brother. Great talking to you.
And I'm signing off because I am exhausted. And looking forward to watching some college football this weekend. I'm about to go watch the rest of this Middle Tennessee Delaware game and probably fall asleep. So go Pirates and good night.
Later.
All right. And that's Kyle for Stick a Fork in Him. He's done. I wanted to mention to you guys, we talked about women's basketball, but Pirate Radio today, guys, they were bullish on the Pirates. They were going 18, and they were going through each game, 18 and 13. Do you guys see that, 18 wins?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, in my opinion. The whole conference, other than maybe Memphis, North Texas, and possibly UAB, everybody else, the other 10 teams are unknown. Nobody really knows what anybody has. I mean, I don't think. And so it's hard to predict not only what you're going to get out of your team, but what the teams you're playing are going to be putting on the court. Like, for me, it's hard to really figure it out. But I think we could do 18. Someone's going to shock, you know, the conference and play above, you know, what they're predicted to finish at. So I feel like, yeah, it's definitely possible. What do you think, Jay?
I mean, I agree. I think there's so many unknowns. I mean, with all these teams, there's so many new guys. So it's really tough to predict. I will say for the Pirates, though, I think there's a lot of confidence in the newcomers and the guys that were here last year. And I just feel like there's a lot of momentum coming into the season, confidence and optimism. So, you know, what's that record going to be? I don't know, but I think the Pirates are going to have a really good year.
Well, certainly they have, let's see, four new guys, high school guys. You've got the number of transfers. And, Johnny, you're the numbers guy. Off the top of my head, I believe the core that we have coming back, is it six players?
Well, you want to talk about players that actually got significant court time. And Jordan Riley was huge. Jay Shane, he's going to be awesome this year. You don't have to worry about playing point guard so much because Corey Cocker apparently is, you know, he's the answer at point guard. And then, you know, we also have Reed Kaysen, who, you know, he may be getting significantly more playing time than he did last year. But Trevion LeBeau is one of my favorite players from last year. I love his defense. He can score when he has to. It's not his thing, really. He's good for a three every now and then, but he's a lockdown defender and rebounder. And then Tybo Bailey, he should be better this year.
Yeah.
And then LaDante Felton. I mean, he redshirted last year. He's a Felton, so you just don't know what he's capable of. Who knows? He's got the Felton genes. He might be a big surprise.
It's going to be weird not to – speaking of Felton, it's going to be weird not to see R.J. Felton on the like that. And I asked Coach, by the way, at the press conference about, in this day and age, how did he keep the players? And he was talking about these guys are old school. It's like they made a commitment. Maybe it's because they love Greenville. They love going to school at East Carolina. But they did a good job for keeping a core group in the NIL, well, now revenue sharing era. So anyway, we'll talk more and we'll have a basketball preview coming in the coming weeks or two, But just want to mention that tomorrow is the women's basketball media day and had the tip off last night, the tip off dinner. It was great, guys. Had a lot of fun. And then the men's tip off dinner, by the way. And we'll seg back into football. But the men's tip-off dinner is next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night, and you can get your tickets. Just go to ecupirates.com, and I believe it's under, obviously, tickets. I think it's a Pirate Club event. So, Stevie, are there games that you're going to be watching this weekend as far as
college Stevie football? Checked out.
Oh.
Stevie had to go.
He had to go. Okay. I was getting ready to get out of here, but before we go, there are some games you guys are watching.
Yeah, for me, I wanted Jay's opinion on this. He's seen more than I have, but I love this time of year because, especially next week. But this week, we have a couple of games that you can almost say are elimination games, and you know, we got Mississippi, Mississippi is playing Missouri, and what's the other one? Oh my goodness. I know this. I'm like Kyle. I just have a hard time with names sometimes. Oklahoma Go ahead. You move on. I'll regroup and I'll get your opinion, Jay, as soon as I figure out who the heck's playing on Saturday.
All right. So, obviously, you said, Jay, you said Notre Dame. It was in your Final Four. Just curious to go back to that. What have you seen to get them into the Final Four, if you will? Can you hear me, Jay?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I think with Notre Dame, they've got a great coach. I think they're going to be able to run the ball and play defense. So I think that's going to carry. I just think the difference is C.J. Carr's been outstanding, their quarterback. So you've got a quarterback that's playing great, and then a team that is strong on the offensive defensive line can stop the run, and they can run the ball. That's going to be a difficult team to knock down, where so many of these teams, you know, have holes. I think Notre Dame is pretty solid.
Okay, I do like their coach. And certainly with that tradition, and, you know, it's with that name of Notre Dame, I know it's not the same as when I was, I guess it was 1988. I was a freshman in high school. It was the last time they won the whole thing. They've been in it several times, but we'll see how that transpires. Obviously, guys, that'll be a lot of fun to see the games. It's interesting to having the second bye week. It'll be another Saturday we can watch the games. So, do you like that, Johnny? Yeah. How you have like we can chill and just watch?
Oh my goodness! Football? Yeah, last Saturday was spectacular. There were so many. I mean, I was dialed in from noon until past midnight, and I mean the later games especially were just crazy endings. I thought of the games, Jay, that I was trying to think of. Okay, so we have like number 8 Mississippi at number 12 Oklahoma, and then we have Missouri at Vanderbilt. I think that might be 13 against 10 or 15 against 10. I just feel like we're at the point of the season where these games really, really matter. Like none of those teams can afford to lose, and they're all great teams, and I just feel like we're going to see some really, really good football
Yeah, I think all these games are going to be competitive. I think all these SEC teams are going to kind of knock each other off. And I think, those league games, I mean, league games in any league are great, but especially those games you just mentioned, I think those are going to be great games.
Yeah, I noticed you must feel that way because you didn't have any SEC teams in the Final Four.
Yeah, I just don't have any team that stood out in the league. I think everybody is really, really good, but I don't know if anyone's going to stand out, or maybe somebody will rise up. But to this point, I think those other teams are better.
What do you think about Alabama?
I think they're playing outstanding right now, but they'd probably be my fifth best team.
That's fair. I think the SEC guys, there's a lot of good teams. But there's a difference between good and great. I really do. By the way, I forgot to tell this earlier, but I do have a way, 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 way too early bowl prediction. Do you know what it is?
What is it?
All right. Matt Simmons is going to be very happy because he won't have far to drive. Hey, Johnny, how you like this matchup? I'm going way out on a limb here. I'm going East Carolina in the Wasabi Fenway Bowl against a Dabo Sweeney, like a 6-6, 7-5. I don't know what the record has to be with the tie-in as far as – I know it's ACC American, but how would that be if you have ECU, Clemson, and Fenway in Boston? Mm. That's December 27th.
I like the Clemson matchup, but I'm not so keen on going to Boston.
But it's going to be cold?
Yeah, too cold. I would go.
Yeah, I would just think that it's funny because any other time, you know, there was no way in the world we'd be playing Clemson. I think this is their year where they will make a bowl, but it's not going to be the year that they expected to have and that they expect to have at Clemson. But that's my East Carolina, Clemson. And, of course, we play them in 29, the first game in Death Valley. For that season, I guess that's Labor Day weekend for 29. But anyway, that was my prediction. I'm just going to go way on a limb. It's going to be funny to see how that turns out. A little
early for that, in my opinion. Too much stuff can happen.
It definitely is. I was just looking at the bowl tie-ins and just trying to look at who East Carolina could potentially play. And I know it's way early, but I do believe we'll make
it. No, I wouldn't be criticizing you, Dave, because you've opened my eyes to the fact that we could potentially play Clemson in a bowl game. And I would be all for that. That would be cool. That'd be like a must attend game, even if it is in Boston.
Yeah, well, most of y'all would say you've lost your mind. But this year, their record is 3-4, guys. 3-4. I didn't realize. I guess that makes sense. I didn't realize they've lost 4 games already. But they still have a ways. They've got a lot to do. They may not even. I mean, that would be crazy to say. What if they don't make a bowl game? Yeah. I have to look at their schedule the rest of the way. But anyway, Jay, what you got coming up this week? And we'll get out of here. I just wanted to touch on that. I forgot to say that earlier with the guys. I just thought it was fun. I wasn't trying to be – and if people were wondering, I'm not being, like, serious about bowls right now. I was just trying to look at the tie-ins and just try to see what we all have left. So, Jay, what do you have high school football coming up Friday, and then I take it college on Saturday?
Yeah, don't have a college game right now on Saturday. So I'm doing high school Friday night, Heritage versus Knightdale. So that's should be a good game.
All right. And I know there's some other exciting news we'll save to another time. Appreciate you very much as always. How can people follow your work, by the way, on social? Do you have social media?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter on all the socials, but it's JSunny91.
JSunny91. Okay.
Sure.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me, buddy. It's great. Great being on with you and everybody. A lot of fun catching up.
Thank you so much. And speaking of socials, I want everybody to follow us, like us everywhere we like to be liked. And Johnny, do you have anything before we get out of here?
No, I just thank Jay for coming on tonight. I enjoyed it.
He's one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. And not only a great dude, but great in the media. He does a great job. Appreciate you, Jay, so much. We'll get out of here. We'll be back. Don't forget, we'll be back Sunday night, even though there's not a true Pirate football playback because we're off this week. Next Wednesday night, we'll have Brian Bailey for the Temple preview. So keep that in mind. That'll be next Wednesday night at 8:30. Until next time, thank you, Jay. Thank you to Kyle, Stevie, and Johnny. And thanks to you for listening and watching. You've been listening and watching Pirate football, and right here, it wouldn't normally be the preview, but it's TSO Wednesday night. As always, go Pirates.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.